everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll...
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Welcome to Friday on B&E. You had better wake them up, get them up, get them going. It is... Mullet Open Friday, a very, very special day. Missed last year, but back and better than ever this year, the 11th of June, the 20th playing of the Mullet Open, the 21st year of the annual golf tournament put on by Mr. Bucky Godbolt. It's going to be a heck of a party and a good time today here at Wolf Dancer Golf Course, the Hyatt Lost Pines Resort, and that's where we're coming to you live this morning, live, local, and digital. On 104.9, on 101.9, on AM 1260, and of course, streaming on our Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com. It's going to be a heck of a day out here. Golfers, teams, players, a lot of great partners as well to make this thing happen this morning and throughout the course of the day and the weekend. Looking forward to it, and it's going to be a heck of a day. We've also got big-time college baseball conversation to be had. Longhorns in the Super Regional round. The odds are out from Vegas on who's going to win the College Baseball World Series. We'll dive into that. Also, the monster news from college football with the announcement yesterday from the College Football Playoff Management Committee about expanding the college football playoff in the future. We'll dive into that conversation and all the conversations of the weekend, NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball. But, of course, the Mullet Open will be our focus throughout the course of the morning. And good to be here with you, Mr. Godbolt. Good job. It looks amazing out here.
Well, it's fantastic. It really is. It was a good day yesterday. We played a little bit yesterday and got a feel for the course. And the course is, I'll say this, this course right now is as good as it's ever been. When we first came to Wolf Dancer to play our first couple of rounds of golf here, this course is back to being like that. The management here has done a great job with the golf course. Don't hit it in the rough, please.
Uh-oh.
By the
grass
way,
is high.
And don't go in the woods. Just let your, if you're part of the group that knocks one in the woods, don't even waste your time going to the woods and saying, I see it's right over there. You will not see it. It will not be seen. The high grass right now, because the rains are up to over your waist, almost up to your chest, and there's no reason to go in there because the ones without shoulders could be sitting there.
Nipples?
Right to your nipple.
That's
right
high.
Right to the nippelodeons. It's high.
Come on, man.
And don't hit it in there. But everything looks fantastic. We stayed. BK came yesterday after his show, drove out here, and the rest of the Texas Cheaters were out here. We put a bunch of stuff together in Jancy, and we got it looks okay. And I'm just saying it's okay.
What are you worried
about?
It looks
okay.
Great out here.
I need more. We need more. We needed to have more. And everyone says, no, you've got enough. It's just fine. But there are three goodie bags worth the price of your golf. So
yes,
that's it alone. The goodie bags are worth that. But for a great cause, and it's so exciting, the fact that there's so many people that have been calling up, and there's about, hey, how can we get in? I'm like, you can't get in. So, as I said, next year, not this year, but next year, we'll follow this up with a mini mullet sometime in October on a bye week for Texas Longhorns, and get it done so people can get an opportunity, because these old cats that come every year, now they've dominated. They just keep coming back, you know?
Yes.
There's so many of them, 20 years, 16 years, 15 years of guys coming back. Opportunities for others to get involved in this. We'll have to do it in the fall, and it should be fun.
Will be fun, and a lot of great partners that make it happen, including Brown Distributing, Bud Light, and the great folks there, Hunter Brown, Lori Brown and the team, Tito's Handmade Vodka, which has just become a global brand these days, but still with local roots and local ties with Tito and Tito Beverage and Cavenders, so many great people, Academy Sports and Outdoors, and of course, Louis Miller, my good buddy.
Ah, Wayne will be here.
Wayne Miller, who's going to be
serving
dinner.
He's got his own sign. He's got his deal.
Well, because Wayne is the best out there in Taylor, Texas. He'll be serving dinner, correct, after the
round
of 18?
Yes, he will be, yeah. And we've got brisket, brisket. We got sausage today.
Oh, man.
And he told me he may sneak a chicken or two in there for me.
All right. Well, it's going to be great. It's going to be a great day. And we're here all morning and throughout the day, of course, and getting ready for it. And obviously, we're not playing in the golf tournament. We got sports to talk about, which we will get to. But if you are playing in one of the teams and making your way out here for the, I think it was 11 o'clock tee time, make sure you're hydrating, getting ready, and take Bucky's advice. If you hit the ball in the woods today, just leave it there.
Yeah, don't.
Don't need to mess with rattlesnakes.
No, don't go. I think
the high grass.
I think there's three sets of balls.
You got four on a team.
And you got three sets of balls. You're okay.
So you're teeing up with nine free balls
yes.
that you're providing in the three different
Taylor Mage, yes.
Okay. So leave your own balls in the bag. Lose the new ones that you didn't pay for.
A lot of you won't be hitting those wonderful Pro V Tito's balls because some of those never made it out here, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Those Pro V Tito's balls?
Yeah.
Hey now.
And thank you to Tito. Tito wishes he could come, but this is part time of the year. He's gone. I think he heads off to Minnesota with his family, and he well wishes this in his 20th year, and Brown Distributing was right behind them, and Caverners are right behind them, and we got some new groups that have joined us. Austin Cocktail has joined us, and a number of other first-timers that are going to get involved and want to continue to get involved and help out the girls and the boys at the Berg Center and the Refuge Ranch.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so that's the table set for our event and your event here today. Let's start with the headlines, get you to caught up on the news of the morning, trending topics as you get up and out on this Friday, getting into your weekend. Sinus and Snoring Specialists bring you the news and top story this morning from college football. Big news, the announcement yesterday from a college football playoff management committee subgroup that there are plans to expand the college football playoff from four teams to 12 in coming years. The CFP's four-person group consists of SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby, Mountain West Commissioner Craig Thompson, and Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick. The 12-team format would include the six highest-ranked conference champions and then six at-large spots. The four highest-ranked conference champions would receive a first-round bye. Teams 5 through 12 would then play each other in the first round with the home field of the higher-ranked team in the playoff would play off from there. College football playoff executive director Bill Hancock said that the format will not change this year or next. The current agreement runs through 2025-26, but that could be amended, but will not happen this year or next, according to the report yesterday. NBA playoffs that has last night. How about the Milwaukee Bucks stepping up after falling into an 0-2 hole against the Brooklyn Nets and looking hapless doing it? They rallied, played some great defense, and beat Brooklyn last night. 86-83 in the first game of the day in the Eastern Conference. Also last night out west, Utah took a 2-0 advantage over the LA Clippers with a win with Donovan Mitchell scoring 37 points in the victory. Major League Baseball last night, Boston avoided a sweep at the hands of the Houston Astros. 12-8 final. Astro bullpen and Zach Greinke got roughed up pretty good there. Astros still took 2 out of 3 in that series. Rangers took the night off. And that's the news.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Looks like Donovan Mitchell hurt that ankle a little bit late in the game and says he's okay. His 37 made it. He looked good last night.
Yeah, Utah looks the part. Looks the part. Now,
Clippers, I believe they are the part, really.
Yeah, Clippers fell an 0-2 hole against the Mavericks, but
this is different.
It is a different animal, this yes. Utah team, with Rudy Gobert, the Defensive Player of the Year again. Donovan Mitchell can finish. Mike Conley at the point. I mean, they've got a lot of pieces there in Utah, and you know, they look like the better team through the first two games. But, again, it's a seven-game series, and we found out in the Dallas series.
That's right.
Adjustments get made, and things can happen. But
and, by the way, good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood,
yeah,
Texas, the
that.
Soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. We'll see a number of vets out here today also.
We absolutely will, each and every year at the Mullet Open. So, yeah, we'll talk some NBA playoffs last night. Surprising. How about, you know, this is human nature. You know, the Milwaukee Bucks were pilloried coast to coast for their lackluster defensive performance in games one
right.
and two, and certainly in game two in Brooklyn. They turned around back on home floor last night, held Brooklyn to 11 first quarter points and hold them down to 83 points on the night. Isaiah Collier, our producer back at the Horn headquarters, what did you see last night from Mike Budenholzer and the Bucks? What did they do adjustment-wise from your coaching vantage point that made such a difference between the first two games and last night?
They were just tougher. I don't know if y'all saw the altercation with Kevin Durant and PJ Tucker. I know we talked about Hot or Not yesterday where, you know, Chuck Ernie and Shaq and those guys were giving PJ Tucker a hard time for praising Kevin Durant. So I think he heard that with that altercation that happened, but that kind of just set the tone for the Bucks, you know, the whole game. Their fans were rocking and it was a dogfight and they came out with a victory.
And obviously that's the kind of game Milwaukee wants to play. Now the question is that just one game? You know, Brooklyn's still the superior side, or can the Bucks get back into this series? Last night they showed they're going to fight for it, that's for sure, a lot more than they did in game two in Brooklyn. But they're in it, and as you mentioned, Utah looking the part out west. And Phoenix, boy, Phoenix continues to rise. Of course, they're already up 2-0. But as we always say, in a seven-game series, it's really not a series until a home team loses a game, right? Or until, you know, somebody drops home court.
Right.
If you hold serve, which is Milwaukee has done, Clippers will have the opportunity to do that. Denver going back to the altitude now with the Phoenix Suns. So we'll watch the NBA playoffs into the weekend as the conference semifinals continue. We'll get into that college football playoff expansion conversation, but I wanted to read you this, Buck. You know, the Longhorns play tomorrow night. Baseball, College World Series or NCAA College Super Regional. With South Florida coming to town. We had some great conversations yesterday, Buck, when you were out with Ty Harrington and David Pierce, and Greg Swindell was on with us, really previewing this team. College odds are to win the College World Series right now. Longhorns are a part of the Big Three. There are three teams that are most favored to now win the College World Series, if you're looking at the betting odds. And that would be, as expected, Arkansas, the number one team in the land. They have been most of the season. They're 7-4 in Vegas. Vanderbilt, you know, they have the top two starters in college baseball. They've got a couple of pitchers at the top of their rotation at Vanderbilt that'll be top 10 draft picks coming up in the amateur draft this summer. And then there's Texas at 5-1, 5-1 in that mix. So those three teams, and that's, you know, got to go take care of your business, but that's where Texas has put themselves, an opportunity to play their way into Omaha. And one of the things that Ty Harrington told us yesterday I thought was interesting, that if they can get through South Florida this weekend, which they're heavily favored to do, he thinks the way they manufacture runs, their speed, the stolen bases, the way they are aggressive, plays well at the site of the College World Series in Omaha, because, you know, they've moved it from Rosenblatt Stadium downtown to the minor league park, and it's much more of a pitcher's friendly park. Remember Rosenblatt, you know, wind used to blow out as like a beer league softball game back in the day when the wind was blowing the right direction in Nebraska. This one, a much more of a pitcher's park, and Coach Harrington felt like that was a good opportunity for Texas to get there and play their kind of ball. It's kind of like a Dish Falk Field on the road, where it's not as much about hitting the long ball. It's about playing some small ball, which Texas can do.
Yeah, a little run and gun for them. Hit them in the gaps and get some extra bases, you know. Take advantage of the ballpark. This works well for Texas because they've got really, really good speed. And they're very chancy on the base pads. You know,
they're aggressive.
Yeah, right? they'll take a chance here or there, and they'll pick their spots, and they'll go for it. And I heard Coach talking yesterday, and he's been talking about that, you know what I mean? They have that kind of speed. So he lets them go. He gives a lot of green lights, as a matter of fact. And some would say, no, not there, not there. And then they steal a base, and they're like, that's a great call, Coach. Keep it up, you know. So this would be a great opportunity for them, especially at this ballpark, it sounds like.
Yeah, and we learned from from Coach Pierce yesterday and from Greg Swindell that South Florida, a team that comes, they're going to come at you with pitching. And as Greg has broken it down, they almost will go with two starters. They've got four main pitchers at South Florida. They'll start a guy on Saturday night, and he may go 4 or 5 innings. If they can get that, then they'll come in with a reliever that'll go the next 4 or 5 innings, whatever they need to do to get that game. And then they'll do the same thing in game two, potentially. That's when they righted their ship. They shrunk their rotation.
Has Coach made a decision on who his starter will be?
I haven't seen it officially. He told us yesterday.
Boy, he waits to the very end now.
Well, and, you know, they play Saturday, so obviously today would be the announcement day.
Mm-hmm.
But he said yesterday they're leaning towards
back to the regular rotation.
Back to the normal, back to Ty Madden in game one, with Tristan Stevens to follow, and then Pete Hansen in a potential game three. And obviously the hope would be you never need Pete Hansen in this series. You'd love to get those first two and be done with it and get on to Omaha. But, that was the indication from Coach Pierce that – they'd go back to Ty Madden, the hard-throwing right-hander, the Big 12 pitcher of the year, and then Tristan Stevens. But on the offensive side for South Florida, they're kind of the opposite of Texas. You know, Texas has some guys that will hit the long ball, but mostly speed, pressure, get after teams aggressively. South Florida likes to lay back and hit home runs. I mean, they are a home run-hitting team that doesn't play small ball much.
Mm-hmm.
They try to drive it out of the ballpark. The whole Earl Weaver classic three-run home run kind of team. And I think that plays to their ballpark in Tampa, kind of the same. You build your roster to your ballpark you're going to play your home games in. And that, I think, bodes well for Texas, that Dish Falk Field is not a home run hitter's park, and they don't manufacture runs like Texas. But the other thing South Florida doesn't do, back to the pitching side, Buck, they don't walk batters. You know, they've got over 500 strikeouts on the year from their pitching staff, but under 200 walks. They come after you aggressively with their pitching staff, and they're not going to put you on base, give you free passes, which Texas obviously benefited from hugely last weekend in their three-game sweep of the regional round. They're going to have to put the ball in play and be ready to hit some pitches, because they're going to give it to you. They're not going to walk you. You know that from their statistics for the year.
Well, I like the fact that they, if they're going for the fences, this is the wrong pitching staff to
– Yes.
To try that, with the exception –
In the wrong ballpark.
Well, with the exception of the starter, at times he can be a little outside the strike zone too. You don't need to be walking, get guys be trying to be too cute because they're trying to hit the long ball. You can – these guys will swing at the ball.
Yeah.
They'll go try to get it. So that's a good thing.
It is. And the other part is, we've talked about the South Florida Bulls have not seen a crowd like they're going to see on Saturday night and Sunday night. And David Pierce called Saturday night of last week against Arizona State the loudest crowd he's heard since he's been at Texas. And you can expect the same with an 8 o'clock first pitch and all the time to get lubricated before the first pitch, and it's going to be an electric environment, and we'll see how South Florida handles that.
Obviously, it's a sellout.
Oh, yeah. Complete sellout. I mean, you can probably buy some tickets on the secondary market. And UT has announced that an hour and a half before each game, they'll release
a certain amount of
individual game day tickets. But the three-game series package tickets are sold out. I think the game tickets that they have are sold out, and it's going to be packed. It's going to be exciting to see the Longhorns this weekend. There are four games today in the College World Series, in the Super Regional round. You know, they play the Friday, Saturday, Sunday Super Regionals, and then the Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Longhorns are in the second of those. But today, Vanderbilt will play East Carolina. Texas Tech and Stanford will play their first game of their Super Regional with the Cardinal out in Lubbock. That'll be fun. NC State and Arkansas play today, and Ole Miss plays Arizona today. Longhorns will get going tomorrow. So college baseball on the brain for sure, on top of the NBA's playoffs. And on top of this 12-team college football playoff conversation that's going all over the nation now, Buck, after the announcement, not just a report now, this is an announcement that came down, that they're going to Chicago in July. This is what they're going to propose. This is what their vision is for the college football, how we decide our college football national champion. And if it gets rubber stamped in July, by the expanded committee of college football, the powers that be, that this thing could be on the fast track to happening sooner than later.
Yeah, now, 2023. I mean, that's pretty quick.
Yeah,
that's right around the corner.
Yeah, there are current agreements that run through 25, 26, but obviously those can be ripped up.
Oh yeah,
the television partners are ready to jump on top of this. And I do like, you know, we've talked about this a lot, the 12-team playoffs, and I know a lot of people think, well, that's too many. It waters down the regular season. I'm in basic disagreement of that. And Bob Bowlesby said this yesterday that, you know, sure, I mean, the regular season still matters as much as any, but it's going to matter for longer for more teams if we
That's
go
right.
here. I mean, more games will matter later into the season if you provide more opportunities and more spots to play for the championship. You know, at this point, a couple losses and you're eliminated from the four-team playoff. This one keeps you in the mix, keeps you in the conversation. I could argue it would make the regular season more compelling and more games would be of more import later into November under this scenario.
I like the fairness. That's what I like. I like college football for Cinderella to have a chance, even though Cinderella very seldom wins those type of games.
Right.
But at least they can now, you know, you don't have to hear that quiet noise of, you know, we should have been there. No, you're going to be in there if you win your conference championship. That quiet noise, well, you have to then go prove it on the field.
Yeah, and I know some people don't like that idea of making everybody happy, but at some level you kind of have to – it's your power structure.
It's huge. It's big business. Make them happy. Why not?
Well, because, yes, exactly. Like, you know, if you're Bill Hancock in charge of this thing, you can tell the directional schools, the Central Floridas, and this last year Cincinnati, the mid-majors, those teams have a shot. And then, you know, they hear the barking from the conference commissioners about, well, look, our second-best team should be in because they're better than those teams. You know what I'm saying? The Pac-12 didn't get a team in last year. Well, that won't happen under this scenario. They'll get one in. But at the same time, you protect the regular season in this way.
But the SEC will get a couple in.
Well, sure. And which is, again, everyone wants their conference to be pushed forward, and everyone wants their opportunity. But the way this current proposal that they put out yesterday protects the regular season is that there's still an advantage the higher ranked you are, you still get an advantage, right? If you can stay in the top four, you get a bye week, which is huge, right? You have to play one fewer game on your way to a possible championship. If you're in the top six of conference champions, those top two that, right. that are not getting the bye, you get the home game. Right, you get the home game in the first round of the playoffs and those top four seeds, which is important. So you're still playing for something that matters, and now then of course.
And you're playing at home.
You get that extra home revenue.
That's great to get that revenue.
Teams 5, 6, 7, 8 will get the home revenue, and then the teams beyond that will have to go on the road. But at least they get the shot, right? That's where you reserve.
You can't
for
say
the,
you didn't get a shot to be in the championship.
You can almost draw this out that you know teams. 9, 10, 11, and 12 are going to be the Cincinnati's, the Boise States, the Central Floridas, the Coastal Carolinas.
Yeah, by the way, I still would have been happy with 8. 8 would have been fine with me.
Yes.
It still would have been fine.
But again, as we've said, you take the 4 out, and it's just really an 8-team play-in.
Right.
With the next group down to 12. And those top 4 are protected because they've had the best seasons. They've been the best teams all year. They get the bye week. And then the next 8 kind of play in to who is going to be that next four.
Well, they also
an 18 playoff.
Like I said, they also give the SEC, and it won't happen in the Pac-12 until they get their act together, possibly ACC and Big 12. They give them opportunities not only to bring their champion in, but another team that may have played in a championship game that's better than some of the other. You're going to have times, obviously, and there's no doubt that the SEC, this works out great for them. They're always going to have two.
Well,
they basically are going to have two teams.
Pretty much guarantees that every conference champion from all the conferences will be in.
Yes.
And in the power conferences, the second place team likely has a good shot.
Yes.
Right? And
you're not going to get somebody, some obscure team, to come in there, even if they have a great record. Even if they're the in a conference seed that they're second place and they've won every game except for their championship game. If you don't win your championship game and you're Coastal in that group like that or the Sun Belt, you're not getting in. Sorry. That's not going to happen for you.
Again, the 12-team format would include the 6 highest-ranked conference champions.
Yes.
They'd be the top 6. And then the 4 highest-ranked conference champions would receive a first-round bye. 5 through 12 would play each other in the first round as kind of a play-in, the higher-ranked teams at home. And so, yes, I mean, every conference champion will get a shot in the FBS level, essentially, whether they're – and they'll be ranked, though. So if you're – you know, a lesser conference champion, you're going to be down there 11, 12, having
sure
to play your way in
right.
On the road. But at the same time, at least you're in. You know, you can't complain you didn't get your team get a shot at the seat at the table.
Right.
They get that. And then the higher-ranked teams are a little bit more protected. But it does give the power conferences a chance to get 2 teams in, which is revenue. And it gives a chance for every conference to say, we get a shot at the title. And I like it. The only question was, you know, Notre Dame essentially conceding. Jack Swarbrick's on this 4-person committee that announced this yesterday. He's the athletic director at Notre Dame. Essentially, they are agreeing to this. They're never going to be a part of the bye. Because if the language is right, and people clarified this with them yesterday, that the teams that would get the bye, those 4 teams at the top, would be the 4 highest-ranked conference champions. Independents not included.
Right.
Notre Dame is essentially confirming that they'll never get a bye under this format, that they're going to have to play in that play-in tournament, essentially. And they're typically possibly going to play it on the road.
And that's okay with them because you know who they're going to end up playing, don't you? They're not playing the big boys, right?
Yeah, well, we'll see. But I feel like this was their way to try to force Notre Dame into the ACC officially, just getting that conference.
And
Notre Dame saying, no, we're good.
We'll take our chance with Coastal Carolina if we have to play them.
Yeah.
On the road, we're fine.
We're fine.
That's not going to bother us to go on the road to play Coastal or Cincinnati.
But that will be
teams like
that will become a huge talking point if Notre Dame indeed builds with Brian Kelly a team that looks like one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get into that top 4 because they're not a conference champion. But that's what they're choosing here. And Jack Swarbrick is, you know, don't revise this history 5 years from now if and when that happens. Notre Dame is their athletic director is agreeing.
Yeah, but like
to this
I said,
terminology.
They understand what happens, who they play, and the types of teams they play. And they figure, by the God, if we can't go on the road and beat that team, we're not going anywhere anyhow.
Yeah.
Let's
go.
We'll go.
Still
got to
play the game where other teams are sitting. Risk injuries.
Can you imagine
further?
Bringing Notre Dame to your place, Cincinnati, bringing them to your house?
That'd be huge.
That'd be great.
All right, your thoughts on that. We'll take them. Specs text line 512-337-3776. We'll read some of those coming back. I'm sure there's a lot of reaction. Going to be a lot of reaction today at the Mullet Open. Let me just tell you the forecast, Buck. Heat.
Yes.
It's going to be warm all the way into the weekend, so hydrate yourself for today and into the Super Regionals. Sunny and warm all weekend long and getting warmer Saturday into Sunday. But no risk of the wet stuff today, which is good.
No.
For the 20th playing of the Mullet Open, the great golf tournament here at Wolf Dancer Resort, Hyatt Lost Pines, or Wolf Dancer Golf Club at the Hyatt Lost Pines Resort. We're coming right back. First time out. We've got a Craig Ray report coming up. We've got your B&E Fact of the Day, more golf coverage, more baseball coverage, and more fun. Live, local, and digital, streaming on your Horn app, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, B&E with you live and local and digital at the Hyatt Lost Pines Resort between Austin and Bastrop. Beautiful location. It's amazing the way you can fly out here these days, Buck, on the toll roads. You fly up over the airport and up over 45 now and really don't even stop if you catch the lights, and you're out here pretty quick. But then you have to wind your way down the 3-4 miles back in here to the resort at about 20 miles an hour. What a beautiful spot they have here along the Colorado River. But excited to be here. And also, props to them. You missed the event last year because of the pandemic, but, you know, the outdoor pavilion off of the Club Pro Shop that they've always had, they've actually glassed it in, and it's air-conditioned now.
Yeah, and it's on now.
And it's on. This is pretty
Derek
fantastic.
Was in here this morning when it wasn't on.
Well, it's smart of them to not have it on all night when no one's in here, but then turn it on in the morning when folks are all in. But it is very, very nice. So if you've been out here before and you're going to make your way out here for the 11 o'clock tea time, you'll appreciate it when you're having dinner and lunch and before you tee off. Very nice in here.
Smokey Mo's will be here soon, and, of course, Cake Rocks and their big announcement coming up very soon that I can't actually tell you, but they will be on a major network here.
That's Christy and Cake Rock.
Yeah, she'll be baking on a network that you've heard of, on the Food Channel. That's all I can say. It's on the Food
Network that I've heard of.
Yeah, and a contest that they have on that certain network. She's a part of that.
It's not on The Bachelor.
No,
like it's not on The Bachelor. Like I say, our producer's favorite show, The Bachelor.
No, I don't know if they bake it. They bake stuff, but they don't bake cakes.
Upon our conversation yesterday, I was really disappointed. You know, Isaiah Collier, our producer, that's his favorite show, he and his fiance. And by the way, Zay's fiance is coming out. They're going to float the Lazy River.
Hell yeah, they are.
Do the whole thing, get a little R&R, good for them. And so Chris Harrison is the longtime host of the franchise The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And Bachelor in Paradise, you know, when they send off the most...
Is that the most disgusting, too? Do they get to have a show, too?
They send the most
too?
Disgusting animals to an island somewhere. And
they just talk about what they've done?
Yeah, and then they film it all. But Chris Harrison is now out as the host, right? He helped launch the brand.
Right.
Well, he's now out because of the comments he made and the controversy of a year ago and the, you know, he's been canceled, essentially. But on his way out, his lawyer negotiated a $25 million settlement. And in it, his lawyer said, if we don't get the appropriate dollar amount, my man is ready to come with the full story, like all the stories, like everything.
Okay.
From 20 years of
– Okay, I'll take the $25 million. We'll stop right there.
All right, where do we cut a check, Mr. Harrison?
Yeah.
Because you know he's got all kinds of
– Oh, my goodness.
Dirt and juice and who did what and who was doing what and where and how and – oh, man. But now confidentiality, but our man Chris Harrison, who's made a lot of money on that show anyhow – rides off into
very
the sunset
nice.
With
well
an extra
done.
$25 million, baby. All right, we're live in Bastrop, Texas. I think that's the official mailing address here, right across
it is.
Cedar Creek High
it
School.
Is the, yeah,
that's where you're going to find it.
It's where you'll find the Refuge Ranch. As a matter of fact, one of the largest facilities in the country, which is very sad for the country. As a matter of fact, sex trafficked young women, over 79,000 in the state of Texas, the largest state in the country for sex trafficked young girls, and for those that are thinking, yeah, they come from across the border. Some do, but the most of them are domestic. These are young girls that get on computers and talk with your daughters and your kids, and there are times that you have no clue what's going on. So make sure you keep an eye on your kids. Be aware of what's going on when they get on that computer. That's if it's not something, it's these people are there to prey upon them. That's what it's all about. And this facility houses about 70 girls. Just think of that. It's the largest facility in the country and only houses 70 girls. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's such a – I mean, we'll talk to the leadership of the Refuge Ranch, which, you know, we're not allowed to say where it's at. It's just in this area.
Yep.
Because sex trafficking is such an awful, awful conversation, but it's a conversation that has to be had because it's happening in real time. And
in your neighborhood.
In your hood. Yeah, exactly. you know, young ladies taken and snatched and then put in, you know, into horrible places. And it is. And the Refuge Ranch helps those that have been
already
gotten out of it.
Yes.
Kind of get their lives or try to get their lives back on some semblance of a normal path. So love them and excited to be a part of that again, helping that great cause. And they're near here in Bastrop, Texas. Somebody on the 14 playoff or the 12-team playoff that's on its way asked us a question. Said, do you think they're proposing 12 so they can then can negotiate to 8? Look, I think they're
Could
going
be.
12. Look,
I think they basically are going 12.
They're going 12.
Yes.
They're going 12. I mean, this is not a negotiation in my mind. This is a placation to everyone. Everyone now, because look, at the end of the day, Bill Hancock, who's in charge, and then all these conference commissioners, when they get together after the season, however it's played out, you know, this eliminates all the belly aching that goes on. Hey, why didn't we get our team in? Hey, why didn't we get our team in? You know, the Aggies last year were bummed out that they didn't get a spot at the table. Obviously, Cincinnati was a team last year that had an argument. Pac-12 didn't even get a team even considered for the Final Four. All that goes away with this. All that's, you know, is it everyone gets a trophy? Yeah, at some level. But at the same time, it's also, to your word, fairness. And it's also following the money. This is the opportunity to create the most games to put on television, but it also allows the most inclusivity into the tournament. But the reason they went to 12, and I was for 8 for a long time, but I think the way they've explained the 12 makes sense to me.
Well, the bye week is great.
Well,
that's the one.
But it still protects the 4.
Right.
And I now view the other 8 as a play-in to the 8-team tournament we've always been talking about.
So to me, it's basically 8.
Exactly. We're still going to end up with an 8-team playoff. But the bottom 4 will play the 5 to 8 group, and that's essentially a play-in game to play your way in. But it allows everybody in. Everyone gets that shot. Now, whether Coastal Carolina has to go on the road to play Texas A&M in College Station to earn their way in, well, but are they going to win that game? Who knows? But at least they got to play it.
Well, the biggest gripe will come after once it starts out and the little guy doesn't really have a chance and they get pounded in playoffs, and everybody will say, well, that sucks. You know this was going to happen. It's going to happen all the time. Why have them do it? Well, it's just fairness. Just giving them opportunity.
This says dilution of the product.
That's what I'm saying.
I would ask, why would it dilute the product?
No, I wanted to see Coastal Carolina play last year or Cincinnati.
It's going to provide more football. And by the way, it's eliminating 4 or 5 actual crappy bowl games that we don't watch anyhow.
Right.
We just gamble on them. you know, this creates – it keeps more teams – people say it dilutes the regular season. I disagree. You still have incentive to finish in the top 4 for a bye week and to have that extra – You know, status to be at the top 4. You still remember it's highest ranked conference champion. So you still want to go win your conference championship, and then there's 6 at large. It makes more games more relevant late in the season.
You can lose conference champion. You can be in a conference champion with 3 losses now, 2 losses. You'll play better teams and still figure it out. You know what? You can still be in the conference championship.
But
you lose 2 or 3 games.
But this proposal that they put out yesterday doesn't guarantee you a spot even as a conference champion, because they're going to rank that. But then, so there's 6, the 6 highest ranked conference champions are in.
Right.
And then 6 at large. Now, do you make it as an at large as a conference champion that has 3 losses? That's going to be determined.
Yes.
That will have to be decided. But at the same time, I don't see how it dilutes the product. If you're going to believe that, I'd love to know your reasoning and reason why it dilutes it. I think it brings more teams to the table. But it protects the best teams, and it just gives more quality football in the month of December and how we decide our champion, and gives everybody a seat at the table. There'll be no more debate about, you know, the underdog, why Boise State doesn't get a chance, why Central Florida, their undefeated year, didn't get at least an opportunity.
The Fun Belt will be in there now.
Heck, go back to the start of the playoff with Baylor and TCU, and the Big 12 got left out. Well, that will no longer happen. They will both get in under this and have a chance to go play for it. I think that to me, that improves the product, but understand, folks, you know, because there are a lot of people who want to go back to just 2 teams. At the end of the year, let's just have 1 game and we'll be done with it.
No, I need more football. We all need more football. Because you're going to watch. You're
going to
watch a bad game. You're going to watch it. You're going to watch Cincinnati versus Notre Dame. You're not going to turn the TV off and say, nah, that's not worth seeing. I'll watch. I'm going to watch them all.
Because I view the teams, you know, 5 to 12, that's a play-in. That's a you're playing your, because I've always been an advocate of the, even when we went to 4, I was an advocate for 8 because I didn't think it would be enough. And they went to 4. It's been okay. And enough meaning everyone gets their chance. You always were going to have number 5 complaining. It was better than 2, in my opinion, going to 4. I wanted 8. Well, now essentially you're playing into 8. You're protecting your top four. The 5-12 play into the 18 playoff that will eventually decide the national champion. And everyone had their every conference was represented. The power conferences. You know, if they had a couple of really good teams like Baylor and TCU that year, or go back to 08, Texas and Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're both getting their opportunity to go play for it and play their way in.
And I always want to see like Louisiana or Texas State or somebody like that get a pop at it. You know what I mean? Louisiana, a team that's bringing back everybody. If they get their shot, that's kind of cool for me. That's a great opportunity. That's helping that school get money too. I mean, that's helping the little guys that you bring in to pound them in the face early in the season. Now they get money late in the season for playing you and for having a good season.
Well, and look, what drives college football? Money.
Yes.
What drives?
I got it.
And where does the money come from? TV networks.
I got it.
And
it's going to be everything's going to be on TV.
Well, the TV networks are saying, look, guys, we'd rather have games that matter in November, more teams involved, more teams playing
right.
for those 12 spots. We'd rather have more of those in November. And then come December, we'd certainly rather have playoff games or play-in games than meaningless bowl games to put on television.
Absolutely.
And we'll pay more for that, guys, because more people will tune in and watch. So we want those games. And then that trickles down. And don't think that this thing that's kind of come out of nowhere for a lot of people that just a year ago they were saying we'll never go beyond four. Now they're mm-hmm. talking about 12. Don't think last year and the financial hit they took during the pandemic in all these athletic departments
they're
and all these conferences.
They're trying to recover some money, aren't they?
They're trying to get back on firm footing because it was a rough year. And remember, football funds all the sports on these athletic departments.
No, you're not going to hear any other sport talk about, that's just too much football. They know what happened over the last year.
Yeah.
They need to have the revenue for their sports, too.
It was made clear to everybody that without these sports, there are no other sports
Absolutely.
In athletic departments. And the athletic departments are sucking wind a little bit here coming out of the pandemic. This is a way to make some money back.
For sure.
In the future.
I so like it a lot.
Follow the money.
I wish it would happen quicker, but I don't think it's 2023, 24. I hope it happens in 23 and not in 24. I think it's going.
Well, my hope would be, let's say yes in July in that meeting in Chicago.
And do it next year?
When the head of the eight families get together in Chicago
yeah, sure.
and really
in
hammer
Chicago.
These things out at the big dining table. When that happens, it can't happen this year. This is 2021.
Could it possibly happen in 2023. That's it. They'll wait.
Why?
They'll wait. I don't know why, but they'll wait.
Why?
Let's do it next year. That's how I say it. I'm good.
And you wonder if there'll be some, back to that basic point about making up for COVID losses, maybe could we start this in 2022? The likely scenario would be 2023. But
yes.
At the same time, if we all agree to this,
Why not?
Are we waiting on?
There's nothing to wait for.
All right. We come back. B&E with you live, local and digital. We're at the Mullet Open, the 20th playing of the Mullet Open, the 21st year. Hey, the Mullet Open turns 21.
How about that?
Drink legally now. Not that they haven't been all the way through from the first one back in the
Even
day.
Even Gary Clark Jr.
Even underage Gary Clark Jr. You're paying him in Bud Lights. I think that's some highly illegal.
Probably.
We come back. We'll have your B&E fact of the day. We'll continue to take your thoughts on this college football playoff. Longhorns and the Super Regional. So many great things happening this weekend here in Central Texas, including this event here today. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Certainly is. B&E with you. We are live at the Hyatt Lost Pines Resort, our annual, interrupted by just one year, the annual Mullet Open here on this 11th of June, the 20th playing of the great events. And if you're making your way out here for the 11 o'clock tea time, hydrate yourself. It's going to be hot and sunny. It's going to be hot all weekend. Reminder, you can hear all of the Super Regional action. Texas Longhorn Baseball hosting South Florida this weekend right here on the Horn or on the Horn app. Make sure you're ready to go. 7:45 pregames and 8 o'clock first pitches for both Saturday and Sunday night's games. If the Longhorns need a game on Monday in this Super Regional, best of three, that would be either at 3 o'clock or 6 o'clock. That will be determined by the way that things play out this weekend around the country, but 3 o'clock or 6 o'clock to be determined. There
got some. He got some golf in yesterday with some sponsors yesterday, and no mosquitoes and no seams. None.
No bugs.
No bugs. So, but there is bug spray here, so you don't have to bring yours. We have plenty here to spray you down before you go out, just in case it's one of those days. But yesterday, down below, down to the pecan trees down below, or pecans, depending on how you say it. Down below on the last nine coming down the stretch here, nothing, no bugs.
So
only snakes.
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
Okay.
And high grass, you mentioned.
Yes, only snakes.
Yeah, you know, this course in great shape. Most courses around Central Texas are going to be in the best shape they've been in a June 11th. In a long time.
How green is it all around the
state? It's just been so wet through May and into June, and typically this is when they start to be thirsty and, mm-hmm. and start to dry out. They're as lush as they've been, so enjoy that. And if you're not out here, your favorite golf course over the weekend.
The golf business is doing quite well right now.
It certainly is. Certainly is. It wasn't before the pandemic.
No, it was not.
Yeah. It was okay, but the pandemic has brought a lot of people to golf because getting outside and being, you know, socially distanced was one of the things you could do. You could go out and play a round of golf. And the other part of that, Buck, then I've talked to a lot of folks in the golf industry, you couldn't travel or go out to eat. So the money that you would have spent on trips and vacations, and you said, you know what, I'm going to join a golf club, or I'm going to, you know, go buy some new golf clubs and go play golf. I can at least do that, and here's what I can spend my money on. So, yes, golf has been a beneficiary of that for sure.
How about this, Bryson DeChambeau, and, of course, Brooks Koepka believe that their little feud is helping out youngsters in golf. They think it's healthy for golf not to be so staunchy and have some guys that are kind of villains with each other and playful.
Or be competitive. Yeah, well, you don't like all your opponents.
Except for Brooks, he's not playing around.
I think they're playing it up a little bit.
The red arse.
Well, there's always been guys on the tour that didn't get along, and so now this gets to be magnified like everything else does these days. And
right.
They probably don't go hang out together, but I don't think they want to come to blows. Bryson's a little
bit. I'll pay to see that.
Bryson's a bit of an irritant. Brooks is a red ass. You know, it's. I'm in for it. But it's a good thing. You got to like it because you used to criticize Ricky Fowler and Spieth and all those guys for going to the beach house together.
Yeah. Oh,
Justin Thomas, all the little
ski-doos and doing all the little fun things together.
All the little,
yes,
you know.
I agree with you.
I kind of like the other side of it. All right, so under the proposed college football 12-team playoff that we're talking about here in the first hour, here's what last year would have looked like, just for your vision.
Okay.
Because, of course, if you took what they're proposing and go to the most recent, you know, end of a college football season. We know last year the top four seeds were Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or this is what 2020 would have looked like. So if you go back to 2020, the number one team would be Alabama. They would play. They would be Oklahoma, Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson would have a bye week.
Right.
And this is not this past season because that was COVID year. But you go back to 2020 under the proposed new rules change. It says here Oklahoma would receive the bye as the fourth. This is under last year. But Oklahoma would have gotten the bye because, remember, they beat Iowa State in the Big 12 title game. And under this scenario, they would have been the fourth-ranked Big conference champion. So your conference chance would be Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Ohio State 3, Oklahoma 4. They'd get the bye. Your first round on-campus games of the 5-12s would have been Cincinnati playing Georgia. Now, they actually met in the bowl game anyhow. Remember,
right.
They played that game, and it ended up like 21-20 or 19.
Good game, yes.
It was a good football game. Cincinnati would play at Georgia. Notre Dame would have hosted Coastal Carolina in South Bend. Texas A&M would have hosted Indiana out of the Big Ten as the 11th-ranked team.
Pretty good football game.
And then Florida would have hosted Iowa State. So here you go to make, you know, all the little guys get in. Cincinnati's in. Coastal Carolina's in.
Right.
And then, you know, the power conferences end up with two teams playing for it. Big 12 would have had two in Iowa State and Oklahoma, Indiana and Ohio State from the Big Ten. And then, you know, SEC would have had three teams in with Alabama, Florida, and Georgia all playing in the 12. So, you know, power gets more.
Right.
Little guy gets in. And obviously the Cincinnati-Georgia winner would have played Alabama in a quarterfinal. The Notre Dame Coastal winner would have played Oklahoma in a quarterfinal. Ohio State would have played the winner of the A&M-Indiana game. So you could have had an all-Big Ten rematch, or the Aggies could have played the Buckeyes.
I like that a lot.
And then Florida-Iowa State winner would have played Clemson.
Let's do it 2022. Let's not wait. Why wait?
If
everybody shakes hands, I mean, is there any logistics to it, anything like that?
Oh, yeah, there's TV contracts and network deals and all that.
Then we'll have to wait it out until – that'll get done when all that stuff is done. It won't get done before. They're not going to do it before the TV contracts are settled.
And remember this –
And when are those? 2023, right?
Well, the current deal is through 2025, the 2025-26 season.
Universities need the money. Let's go. Right? We have to make up a lot of money.
I'm with you. All right, on the other side, we'll get to the B&E Fact of the Day. We'll also get to your update, your headlines, NBA playoffs, doubleheader last night, Coach's Corner coming. A lot going on live at the Mullet Open on a Friday, getting you into your weekend, live, local, and digital. Remember, we're always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.